evil in the hearts of men. The Shadow Knows.
The Shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, A Gift of Murder. It is an evening in late December. A fine flurry of snow is just beginning to fall from the darkening sky as a smartly dressed young woman knocks on the heavy door of Gerald Covington's country estate.
Surprised to see me, Baxter?
Delighted to see you, miss, and I know your brother will be overjoyed. Come in, come in. Mr. Gerald was saying only last week that he hoped to get back from Europe in time for the party tonight.
Party? Did you say party?
Yes, miss.
A party here?
A little gathering in keeping with this glad season.
As I remember Gerald, he considers all seasons equally glum.
I know, miss, but this, you see, is in honor of your Aunt Frances.
In honor of Aunt Frances? Do you mean to tell me that Gerald is giving a party for Aunt Frances?
Indeed, miss.
Why, where is he?
In the drawing room, trimming the Christmas tree.
Trimming the... This I've got to see. Gerald!
Eva! What a happy surprise, I can't tell you.
A Christmas tree?
Yes, I did it all myself.
And presents?
For your Aunt Frances. Is it so strange, Eva, that I should want our aunt to have a lovely tree?
Yes.
My dear Aunt Frances is 72 years old. We may not have her with us long.
Darling, last year she was 71, which isn't precisely adolescent. And all she got for Christmas was a dozen handkerchiefs and a cold in the head.
Well, this year, things are somewhat different.
So I noticed. Last time I was in touch with this little family circle, you and Clyde hated Aunt Frances like death and taxes.
You may speak for our brother Clyde, but as for me, I've always adored the dear old soul.
Really?
Really. Shall I show you what I have for her?
Do. So,
an antique music box. The sort of thing she loves. And in solid gold. Isn't it charming? Listen. God bless the merry gentlemen.
Expensive item, I'd say.
I paid $500 for it, but nothing's too good for dear old Aunt Frances.
It isn't possible, is it, that Aunt Frances has come into money?
Well, that is...
She has.
Well, the truth is, an old admirer of hers, Mr. Onslow Fraser, remembered her in his will.
How distinctly did he remember her, Gerald?
Quite distinctly, Eva. She's inheriting $1 million.
Oh. And when did you hear of it?
Only yesterday. Mr. Elcott, attorney, member of the firm of Elcott, Elcott and Duveen in Boston, brought us the news.
Now I see it all. The tree, the presents, the party. You're competing with Clyde for Aunt Frances' affection.
I am only trying to brighten the end of her life.
You are only trying to become the chief beneficiary of her will.
Nonsense. Quite sure I will be a beneficiary, as you will, Eva, though I doubt that Clyde will benefit very much, if at all.
Why not?
I'll tell you why not. It's amusing, really. Quite amusing. Day before yesterday, before Mr. Elcott appeared, of course, Clyde was unfortunate enough to have written me a certain letter.
Letter?
A letter, my dear, suggesting that we put Aunt Frances in an old woman's home.
No.
Yes. I have the fatal bit of correspondence. Keeping it carefully. And when Aunt Frances lays eyes on it, I shouldn't be surprised if she cuts Clyde out altogether.
And you're going to let her lay eyes on it, of course.
What do you think?
Does Clyde know you do?
Oh, my, yes. He's been on the phone for the past 2 days, begging and threatening my life by turn.
Clyde is not a man to let himself be pushed too far, Gerald.
I'll risk his wrath. I must go upstairs and wrap the music box for Aunt Frances. If the guests arrive, you'll greet them for me, won't you?
Who's coming?
Principally the family. Clyde and our dear aunt. And possibly the lawyer, Mr. Elcott.
Anyone else?
Just that young couple Aunt Frances is so fond of.
Mr. Cranston and Margot Lane.
Yes, she likes them. And it's my desire to please her, you know.
You bet I know.
I'll be down in a moment. Oh, okay. This wife
right in to be sitting. And a light red ribbon for the holiday touch. Who's that? Oh, come in. I'll be finished with this wrapping in a moment. There, now, I think this makes a very charming little gift, don't you? I said, don't you? I think...
Merry Christmas, Baxter.
The same to you,
contractors. You had to have the eggnog now, Miss Eva.
I can't think of a better time.
Shouldn't we wait for Joe?
Well, I don't think so, Aunt Frances.
And Clyde, where's Clyde?
Right here, Aunt Frances.
Oh, Clyde!
You don't think I'd miss your party, do you? Merry Christmas, Aunt Frances. And may you wear these for many, many happy years to come.
For me, Clyde?
For you.
Oh, pearls. A choker of perfectly matched pearls. Mr. Elkhart, look.
Exquisite. Really exquisite.
You must have spent a fortune on these, Clyde. And I haven't a thing for you.
That doesn't matter, Aunt Frances.
Oh, but it does. I'm rich now, you know, and I insist that you tell me exactly what you like for Christmas.
I'd like you to be well and happy.
Oh, that's very sweet. But isn't there something you'd really like to have?
I think I can tell you what Clyde would really like to have, Aunt Frances.
What's that, Eva?
A letter.
Miss Eva, just what are you talking about, Eva?
A letter, Clyde. A letter that you wrote Gerald day before yesterday.
I never wrote Gerald a letter.
Oh, no? How peculiar. And I have it right here, signed by you.
May I see that?
No, you may not.
May I see that, Eva?
You may not,
May
Clyde.
I see it now, Eva?
Oh, Mr. Covington.
He's got a gun.
No.
Hand it over. Come on. Give it to me. Thank you.
Clyde, what's the meaning of this?
There's no time to explain just now, Aunt Frances. I must go. However, I beg you not to believe any of the poisonous lies these people may tell you about me behind my back. I want you to know that I do wish you the very merriest...
Ah, drop that gun!
Hold on,
go on me!
Drop it! Drop it back!
Ah. Pick up that gun, Baxter.
Yes, sir.
What do I do now?
Take Mr. Clyde up to the study and hold him there until the police arrive. Yes, that's right. There's been a murder, and we're holding the culprit under guard. Yes, I suggest you get here as fast as you can.
Are the police coming, Mr. Creston?
Immediately, Mr. Elkhart. I'm sorry I had to spoil your Christmas party like this, Aunt Frances.
Oh, Lamont, my dear, you had no choice. Aunt Frances.
Yes, my dear?
We found this upstairs. A little remembrance that Gerald bought for you.
A music box.
And a very lovely one. Listen.
Oh, how charming. And look, it's gold.
A pocket for a golden haired lady.
What did you say, Mr. Elkhart?
Why,
Mr. Johnson! Mr. Johnson!
Come on!
That came from the back of the house.
Clyde.
He's killed Baxter. Come on, Margot. Baxter! Baxter!
Baxter!
I'm all right, McLean.
Oh.
Though I can't say as much for my prisoner. Clyde. He tried to escape, sir. So I was forced to shoot.
Tried to escape? How could he try to escape when he was standing over him with a gun?
I don't know, sir, but he did. And since the two of us were all alone here, I'm afraid, Mr. Cranston, you will just have to take my word for it.
When Margot and Lamont heard the shot from the rear of the Covington mansion, they found Baxter standing over Clyde Covington, a smoking revolver in his hand. A few moments later, in the massive entrance foyer.
He killed Clyde deliberately, Lamont. I'm sure Baxter shot him in cold blood.
I rather agree with you, Margot.
But why?
Possibly because Clyde had an alibi. An alibi Baxter didn't want him to use.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that Clyde may have not come to this house at all earlier in the evening.
Not even to get the letter?
He wasn't the only person who might have been interested in getting that letter, Margot.
No?
No. Baxter could have used it nicely to hold over Clyde's head as long as Aunt Frances lived, bleeding him of a nice sum in the process.
I see what you mean. Then it may have been Baxter who killed Gerald, too.
I don't know. It's only a theory. Theories worth a visit from the shadow.
Elbow. You can't see me, but I'm here. Here to see justice is done, Baxter.
What's happened? happening to me. My mind is slipping.
I want the truth, Baxter.
Go away. Go away.
Not until you tell me why you killed Gerald Covington.
Leave me alone. Please, please. I didn't kill Mr. Terrell.
You can't lie your way out of murder.
I didn't kill him. That's not what I've lied about.
What have you lied about?
Nothing.
The truth?
I lied about him. About the man coming in before Mr. Terrell was killed.
Yes?
It was Mr. Clyde.
No, then who was he?
Will you let me alone if I tell you?
Yes.
All right, then. It was...
Elkhart and Gildine.
What's the matter?
Who are you, Elkhart?
I'm almost sorry for you, Miss Evans.
There is no firm of Elkhart, Elkhart, and Duveen.
I know. And there's no $1 million.
What? But you came here about Onslow Fraser's will.
And Onslow Fraser never made a will. In fact, Onslow Fraser isn't even dead.
What?
Although just at this moment he almost wishes he were. Yes, I'm Fraser.
Oh, I think I begin to see.
I fell in love with Anne Frances years ago, when she was as young as you are tonight, Miss Lane. And I never fell out of love with her.
Why did you have to pretend to us that she was inheriting $1 million? Why?
Because I knew how dismally you and Clyde and Gerald had treated her. I had no money to help her with myself. And then the idea came to me, I could make it appear that she'd become an heiress. And then depend on your greed and deceit to provide her with at least one really Merry Christmas.
A very sweet idea, but...
But a very dismal failure, I'm afraid.
I'm afraid so, too. I'm afraid there'll still have to be 2 more murders before the party's over.
Eva!
There may not be $1 million, but I still have my life to think of.
Don't you realize the police are on their way?
But they're not here yet, and I have a gun, and the door is open.
What was that?
Who closed that door?
I did, Eva. The door is no longer open.
Who are you?
I am the Shadow.
What are you doing here?
I've come to accuse Eva Covington of the murder of her brother, Gerald.
It's a lie. A lie. You can't prove it.
I can prove you contrived a neat little plot to murder Gerald and convince the world that Clyde had murdered him for an incriminating letter.
No.
You took Baxter in on your plan, promising him a part of $1 million you hoped to get. That's why Baxter killed Clyde when he realized he could easily alibi his way out of the charge.
How do you know all this?
The Shadow knows. When I confronted Baxter, who was about to get the truth out of him, it was you who shot him to save your own skin.
And I still have a skin to save. Either you open that door or I pull this trigger.
Don't be a fool.
I warned you, let him.
Drop that gun. Drop it. Drop it.
Let me go. Let me go.
As you please, Miss Eva.
She's going out of the window.
Yes, Mr. Elkhart. Straight into the arms of the police.
Found it later in your overcoat, and I thought you were the murderer, Mr. Elkhart.
I picked it up and hidden it so that Aunt Frances wouldn't see it, Miss Lane.
Whoosh, here she comes. Frances.
Yes?
I want you to know how sorry I am.
Sorry? Why?
I've made a tragic mistake. The gift of Christmas that I tried to give you turned out to be the gift of murder.
Not really, Uncle.
But Clyde and Gerald are dead.
It was their own greed and ruthlessness that brought about their death.
And besides, the world's better off without either of them.
Much better.
Nevertheless, I'm sorry.
You shouldn't be. You've made me very rich.
But $1 million wasn't real, Frances.
Oh, it isn't $1 million that's made me rich. It's your kindness and remembrance and the love of your heart. That's real, isn't it?
Yes.
Then, Onslow.
My dear.
Must you take that back?
Frances. You mean...
I'm alone, and so are you.
My darling.
Well, what do you know? It looks like it'll be a Merry Christmas after all.
With many more to come.
Ha, 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 ha.